prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio! Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio!
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This be the rabbit. Hi, y'all. This is not for public consumption with Pat Rabbit. And we're on Revolution Radio, found at revolution.radio, and we're found at freedomslips.com, both places. And both get you to the site where the players are and where the chat room is. So come on down. Check us out. That is, if you're listening on one of the other, like iTunes or any of the others that play our content without you needing to be here. But it's fun to come to the main site. So come check us out. And remember that we're entirely user-supported. We don't do anything except that you help us do it. And this has gone on for 11 years and going into 4 months now. So if something works about it, even though we don't get paid, if something works, it keeps the engines running, all the servers and the service providers, and there's a lot more to it than you might think. So, think about giving us a hand, and it's easy to donate, because I will tell you how. We have Patreon, and Patreon works real well. And you become a patron over at Patreon, and you arrange for them to take so much out of your account every month. And it works well, and there's no problem with it. No doubt that's a small fee, but no one's complained about it. So, you know, you can tell them to take out $5 every month or whatever you specify, and that goes to us to help us. And then we also have DonorBox, and DonorBox is for people who are across the water. I believe you're going to use your credit or your debit card when you do use it. And, again, these all work very well. The next one is direct payment North America only, where if you're here in North America, you pull out your credit or your debit card and use that to make a little support dollop for us. Also, we take cryptocurrency, we take Bitcoin, we take Ethereum, and we take Bitcoin Cash. And if you just feel like making out a money order or writing a check, well, make it out to Revolution Radio, just like it sounds, Revolution Radio. And you address it to Terry Ackerman, that's TerryAckerman, just like it sounds, Terry Ackerman. She's at 1793 North Eden Road, and Eden is spelled E-D-O-N, Don't write E-D-E-N. It's E-D-O-N, road. And then she is in Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Allen, Michigan, M-I, and the zip is 49227. And that is Lady Horse. And she's the treasurer. And she and Amy are two of the very oldest people who have worked for the station long. They're not the oldest age-wise, but they've worked for the station longer than anybody else. I've been here since, what, 2013? But anyway, so that's how you can help us out. And we have the archives, and the archives are free. All you got to do, hang on, let me get something done quickly. Let me find, all right. One, plump, plump, plump. Okay, we're all set. And, the archives, we used to charge for them, but they're now free, which is very cool. And all you gotta do is click on the archives button. I call them buttons. Click on the word. You'll see it's HTML loaded. So it, you know, the little hand appears from the pointer to the hand. So you know it's clickable. And you go there. And if you used to have archives and you had your own password and your own username, don't use them. Okay. Do not use them. We will have it filled in for you. Normally they are. Let me take a quick look and see. Enter archives. Well, I got right into the archives, period. I didn't even see it. But if you get the window box where you need to, where you see the username and the password are, just know that the username is RevRadio, R-E-V-R-A-D-I-O, 8 characters. And the password is ROCKS, R-O-C-K-S, with an exclamation point. You gotta have the exclamation point. That makes 6 characters. So, and normally they're filled in for you, but in case they were ever blank, that's what you would put in. Very easy, and everything is totally free. You get to the main page of the shows, and the shows are put in by show name only, not by the host name. You gotta look for the show name. And you find that, you click on it, and another window opens up with all the shows arranged by date. And you select your show, and you click on it, and you download it to your computer, and you play it on your iTunes, or it's called Music Now, or whatever. Whatever player you want to use, it'll play it. QuickTime will do. I'm on a Mac, so I'm speaking Mac stuff, but you know what's happening. Also, we have the GUI, which is the graphic user interface, and you can go that way also and then find your show according to what I just said. And then there is a player there on the site. And so you can get it going that way too. So we have that. Then we have something new. We have at the Zazzle store. If you go, hang on, I have to keep promoting people. Everyone got knocked out, and then the next thing you know, I'm having to put moderator hats on people again. I didn't hear that. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Okay. There we I fixed up 2 people so far. And so that's how you do that. Now the store, we've always had, it's a Zazzle, Z-A-Z-Z-L, like L-E, and you go and you are Zazzled. It's better than dazzled, actually. And you go there, and we have a new thing. We have the coffee club, and all these shows have their own cups now. And we're trying to get all the hosts to make them. And you get in touch with Amad. If you're a host and you're listening, you get with him on Skype and you have a little session with him and you construct your cup and they come out really well. Who do we have? We have Mitchell's Revolution in the Morning mug. Then we have the Crypto Corner. That's Rose Crypto Corner show. Then we have Lady Horse's mug. We have Crypt Rick's show. And we have a couple of neat posters, because Amad is a spectacular artist. And we have my cup, not for public consumption, and you can see me. I'm coming out of my little rabbit hole. We have Willow's Weekend World show. So they're starting to build up, which is great, you know, because if we have near 90 hosts, we can have 90 cups, and it's a lot of fun. There's a picture of Ahmed there, and he's going to help you out. All you got to do is knock on his door, and it's a lot of fun. It's a fun session, and you get what you want and what you like. So, and there's all the other stuff, too, of course. So the Zazzle store is doing real well. And we have some of the older things also, but yeah, I'm very happy with mine. Mine came out cool. So you can see me now. So that's how you can help the station, and I will thank you in advance, but please help us out. And remember, you're not paying us. This is a labor of love for everyone who works here, who is a host here, whatever. Well, all your money does is help pay the bills. And it takes a lot more to run this place than you might think. And it was a lot more involved than I thought it would be when I saw it laid out. So, I got mail. That's my phone. Okay, who's here? I see Lady Horse, Crow One, Cat Dog Girl, Surrey Sunflower, Mona Radler, Jer Bear, The Red Pill, Psycho Hypocrite, Batsman, Popsicle Toad, Melia, Dry Fly Guy 1, Wally, Pat Rabbit, that's me, Mace 139, Valerie, Fleeced, Ahmed, Comet. Now, let me see if I can. Why isn't it doing so? That's weird. I have an idea here. No, that didn't help. That's weird. I don't know what it's. Okay. At least I got to that part of the page. So, apparently, that's just how many there are here at the moment. 19. Okay. With all the other listeners who aren't in chat, just because they're in. Chat is a very minor fraction of the amount of people who really do listen. So be aware of that. Though it's fun to talk to chat while you're doing a show, and we encourage hosts to get on in the chat. So, okay. Hey, Malia. So please donate. Help us out. We do need it because we're not going to be here if you don't. There's nothing else running these engines. You are the gasoline. And that is beautiful because we're under no corporate strictures, under no corporate constraints to have to say or not say something. And so we can deal with subjects the way we want. And so... Yeah. Rebooted into an alternate universe. The chat did something weird a little while ago, but that's why I think there's only 19 in here, because generally you have a lot of the later hangers on with hourglasses next to their name. That means they haven't posted in like 3 or 6 hours or something, but they're still logged in the chat, you know, and then finally you'll be automatically logged out, but that takes a long time. And generally people, you know, re-up it. You just come back in if that happens. It's not a problem. It's essentially a cool chat room. It's got its foibles, but it's cool, more or less. Now, let me take a look upstairs and see what's going on in the sky as the moon goes towards Capricorn. It's got 3.5 degrees left in Sagittarius. The sun is just about to hit 4 degrees of Aries. We're in early Aries. We're past the midpoint of spring. And we're gunning up towards summer, which will be around May 1st. That's what Beltane is about. It's the summer, the beginning of summer. An ancient festival. And the equinox is also lining you up for something good. Mercury's 24, it's 25 of Pisces. It's square in the moon, no big deal. Venus is 17 and a half degrees of Aquarius, and Mars is 1348 of Aquarius. Jupiter is 1934 of Pisces. The moon did make a square to Jupiter earlier, very much earlier this morning. Saturn is 21 degrees of Aquarius. Uranus is 1231 of Taurus. Neptune is 2317 of Pisces. And Pluto is 2817 of Capricorn. And finally, the node is at 2341 of Taurus. It's aspects to the node that can be, can yield results sometimes, or, and even more especially in your own natal chart. I'm just doing mundane astrology, which is looking at the sky right now, seeing what's going on and where it is. So, what I am looking at is this, and it's going to happen in about 12 days. 12 or 13 days. So I'll have another show when it's gotten even closer. But I'm keeping a very close eye on this. We have Mars at 1348 of Aquarius. And we have Saturn at 2120 of Aquarius. And Mars is moving forward faster than Saturn is moving. Which means that Mars is going to come up and conjunct Saturn. And that's going to be on the 5th or the 6th. I'll have to check the ephemeris for the exact time. But I would say we'll start feeling the influence of this around April 3rd and carry it through the 9th. More or less 7 days where we will feel, because we will be within 1 degree either way. If there's one thing I don't like to see going on, it's a Mars conjunct Saturn, or a Mars square Saturn, or opposition. These can be nasty aspects. They generate tremendous tension and frustration. Saturn is everything that's kind of droopy and sad and constricted. And it says, stop. Nothing can go. And Mars is saying, go, go, go. And you put those two together at the same time, and it's not a happy party. They're not good bedfellows. So, but like I say, it won't be for another couple weeks or so. But I'm watching it, so I'll let you know. In case you're not, don't worry. I'll keep you abreast of it. That is the sky report. God, what is going on? I am so keyed up. I can't believe it. I'm on hyper alert right now. Because I have two houses. And I live in the bigger, older house. And the little house across the yard is the house I grew up in. And I've got things stored in there. And it was broken into. Well, the kitchen door wasn't locked, but there's not a lot of real value or anything. And I wasn't too worried about it because this is the old historic district. It's a safe neighborhood. But someone got in and took some things and messed things up. So, you know, call the cops. And then, on the 11th, which is a Friday morning a couple weeks ago, I noticed the front door was open. And there was a chain on it, at least, if not the lock also. And I thought it was engaged, but I can't be sure. And that door was open. And someone had come back and made a bigger mess and took more things. And, you know, the cops are called every time. The jury's still out on them around here, but that's what you tend to do, right? So, okay. So yesterday, I see this guy who I've seen in the yard before, and I kind of chased him out. I had no idea what he's up to, but this guy comes in on a bicycle, and there's an alley between on the other side of the little house between it and the next house over, and I know these people too. And this is like 3 p.m, and he rides up. And I walk out there, and I notice that this window that I kind of left open as a test. I mean, it wasn't locked down, but it was pulled down, but it was open. In the middle of the day. Unreal. So immediately I just came over here and called the cops. And then while I was waiting for him to get here, here he comes. And he's riding down the street and goes on away. And I don't know if he got anything or not. And I was on the phone with the police lady when this happened. So they came again, went and checked. And I think maybe he didn't take anything because he heard me clumping down the alley and checking the window, you know, and figured he was me and he better get out of there. Which is probably what happened. Okay. If that's not bad enough. This morning, here comes this guy walking down the street. No bicycle this time. And he turns and he walks right toward the alley where that window entry would have been. So I saw that and I kind of had a hissy fit and I walked out there fast. I looked around and then I saw him hiding behind this board, like a big plywood board that was leaning against my neighbor's shed. So I started yelling. And I told him in uncertain terms to get out of here and don't come back. And so he did, and I got a description. I called the cops again. This just keeps going on. Yeah, right. Right, Crow. It's about the size of it. So, you know, I'm really keyed up. I'm hyper alert right now. The good thing is where I sit, I can look right out the window here and I can see right to the little house and I can see the street to the left. If anybody makes any kind of entry into the yard, if I'm watching, I'll see it. And I've seen it already, and so unreal, unreal. Well, actually, they broke out a window pane in the neighbor's shed too. So he called the cops. The cops didn't come for me this morning. I just called him and gave him a description so they could look, you know, because they know what's going on. This little house getting hit so hard and so fast that they kind of know it's me. And so they were just over there talking to the neighbor. This is just crazy, unbelievable. And I am keyed up, something hyper. I'm so sick of this. It'll be hard. Besides some of the things that I noticed not there, anything else, it's such a mess in there. It's like a hurricane blew through. And so it'll be a while before I figure out what's not. Oh yeah, Crow, that will work. A friend of mine's coming over after the show. He said he's going to get in touch and get in there and really put some blocks of wood in those windows. Screw them down, and those windows are not going to come up. They would have to break them, which they're not beyond doing considering the pane of glass that was broken out. You know, you have to nail big slabs of wood. Ah, boy. Well, anyway, that's been my party lately. How's yours? As the world goes crazy, as the world goes insane, and I suck up information like a vacuum cleaner lately. That's why I'm not around too much in the chat room, because I'm busy going around listening. I think Gonzalo Lira is doing something right now. I'm going to have to backtrack and catch up on it. He's very good. I think a lot of Gonzalo Lira. And another one is this guy, Alexander Mercuris. He's British, and he talks kind of slow and pedantic, but what he says is worth listening to. So there's him. And then the Revolution Radio Twitter is very good for photos and short video clips. Often there is a description of the video clips or with them. You never can understand who's saying what. I'm starting to wonder if I can tell the difference between Ukrainian and Russian now. And there is the propaganda steamroller that's gone into full gear, high gear, here. Unbelievable. So you gotta watch what you hear and read and consider your source. Because you'll get information and you'll start speculating on it and you'll make some possible conclusions. But the thing is, you had bad info to start with. Anything coming out of the West is not good information. There is an agenda, a huge agenda. Back around 900 AD, back in those years, back in the area of the, I forget what they call that. It's where Georgia is and Chechnya. And Russia goes down there, and it's between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. It's almost a peninsula, but I don't believe it is because both seas are landlocked. But whatever that area is. And then further out to maybe into Kazakhstan, and there was a tribe called the Khazars, or Khazars. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. And this was a very troublesome bunch. For a long time. Not good. And finally they were overcome and put in a position where they were told they would have to, and I don't know the historic antecedents of all this, but that they would have to assume one of the Abrahamic religions. And they weren't going to become Christian because then the Muslims would attack them. And they weren't going to become Muslim because the Christians would attack them. So they decided that they would join the Jewish religion. And so that's what happened. And in fact, some of the Hebraic Jews moved in with them. They were like envoys. And both peoples are really good merchants and things like that, except the Khazars were a lot more murderous and a lot more warlike. And the thing about the Khazars is that joining the Jewish religion didn't improve them any. And joining the Jewish religion didn't do much for the Jewish religion either, as it turns out. Because now there is a misnomer-style narrative that goes down when you start talking about the Jews. When essentially it's not the Jews, it's not the Hebrews, it's not the Semitic or Semitic Jews, it's the Khazars. And I believe that, I am not sure, but and I'll have to search this out, but I believe it's generally thought this, that the Ashkenazi Jewish people, as such as you find in Eastern Europe, Germany, and then Poland and Ukraine and Romania and other countries, the Ashkenazis are the descendants of the Khazars. And they think the same way. And they have infiltrated everywhere. And of course, there are still adherents of the quote-unquote Jewish religion, and so they get called Jews, but they're not. And it makes me think of that old statement in the Bible, you know, those who call themselves Jews but are not. You could read that several ways, but it certainly fits this situation. Well, these people, I've come up with the term Ashkenazar, but these people are the ones who have ensconced themselves in all the high up places in this country. These are all your dual citizens. And they're all over Europe, and wherever else you find them, there they are. And so, be they George Soros or Klaus Schwab or any of the other bazillion of them, they're actually Khazars. And that is the huge problem with Jew bashing here. It's a clouded narrative. It's essentially not correct. And I have no problem with bashing the Khazars because they're the globalists. They're the ones who want to rule the world. They're the ones who are murderous, trying to kill billions of people with their bioweapon, their handy little vaccine. And they're succeeding quite well in many quarters, sadly. Not everybody is affected, but those shots come in different batches. They're smart. No, they're not smart. They're clever. Real smart, real intelligence needs the idea of wisdom, and they have none. They have no wisdom. They have no judgment. They have no creativity. But they're really good on the intellectual side of things. And to them, intellect is all and everything. Like there's nothing beyond it. And that is our problem. And apparently it is they who have essentially gotten into the Ukraine. It's their thrust with all the god-awful stuff going on there. And it's not just the biolabs. It's the human trafficking. And I was learning today that human trafficking is the third largest business in the world. Business, remember? They know how to make money, no matter what it takes or how bad it is. And the first is weapons, and the second is drugs, and the third is human trafficking. They're behind all of it. And it's also, I was watching this one video talking about the amount, the great amount of tunnels all over Ukraine. Well, there's tunnels all over the planet, actually. I think some of them were there, maybe dating to Atlantean times. And many of them were made recently because these big boring machines can do amazing things. But there was a map of the tunnels all over Ukraine. And one of them was very interesting because it shot a straight line forward from Odessa, which is a seaport, all the way through Kiev to Chernobyl. And the other thing I'm hearing about Chernobyl is, yes, something did happen there. There was an accident. And it was dealt with. And apparently the radiation isn't so bad anymore. For the main purpose of things is okay. But it's very handy to have people thinking there is tons of radiation and stay away because of that when there isn't. But they're getting you to stay away because it's one of their huge centers for human trafficking, especially children. There's that going on. And then the money laundering, drugs in general, I guess, and then the Nazi problem, which they're paying into. They're paying these guys. And apparently Ukraine had a huge Nazi problem, which reared its head in World War II. Not all the Nazis were in Germany. All of these were ethnic Ukrainians who hated Jews or Khazars actually in this case, and they hated ethnic Russians. When essentially they're the same people, talking about hypocritical. But yeah, they suppose themselves to be Aryan supermen. And what's his name, Kolomoisky, is the one who's bankrolling the Azov Brigade now. It used to be battalion, though they're being shaved down mighty quick by the Chechens and the DPR. And maybe the Russians, too. And there's also the Adar Battalion. And there is the C-14 Right Sector. And a couple of others whose names just don't come to me. So, there's a lot going on. And what the real reason, the video I was listening to was sort of saying that the real reason that Vladimir Putin came into Ukraine was essentially the human trafficking. And, well, I don't know. I mean, I think it was a concatenation of reasons. That, plus the biolabs, plus the threat of NATO, and that's another problem with Ukraine, NATO, because the entire quote-unquote international community is run by the globalists, who, as we know, are the Khazars. And they're all the ones who want NATO everywhere. NATO, which should not even exist once the Soviet Union broke up, because that's the only reason NATO was ever formed. But oh no, they couldn't get rid of that. Comes their little toy. So, it's a mess. It's a real mess. And then I hear, too, that there's the, Putin's just playing a part. And he's part of this whole global thing, too. I don't know. That gives me a funny feeling. And generally, when I get a weird feeling, it's because I'm intuiting that is not correct. Hey, I could be wrong. I don't know everything. But my feeling is that is not correct. I've heard that Putin is in touch with Trump a lot. And also, let's go over to China and touch with Xi. Because Xi is not part and parcel of the CCP to the degree that many think he is. In fact, he's rather against it, is what I'm understanding. How true that is, I don't know. But these are just things I'm picking up, so I'm handing them over to you for what it's worth. But it's a mess. It's a huge mess. So I'll keep searching, waiting for more info, more news. The essential news seems to have dropped off lately. Maybe it's just me, because I get up to a hyper speed in trying to ferret things out, and so there is as much. I'm just thinking that, whoa, things have slowed down, but it's just me who's going fast. I don't know. So, what do y'all think? No, you didn't kick yourself out of chat, Willow. Chatsy kicked you out of chat, I believe, along with everybody else, essentially. And this is Pat Rabbit with Not for Public Consumption. Lots of happenings over at the rabbit hole here. Never a dull moment lately. Well, I wouldn't mind things being dull because I'm busy. I'm doing other things. Let's see if he's got a blurb on this new YouTube or not. It's live now, but I'll just have to listen when it's over. It's entitled Why Western Elites Are Stupid, Blind, and Amoral. And he has said, this is Gonzalo Lira, and he has said some really good things about the way they are and the way they act, how it leads to a lot of what we see, and I agree as far as that goes, though I think it goes further than that. I think it's an agenda and not just an accident of their idiocy. But even if there was, and you didn't want people to know there was an agenda, you could talk about their idiocy, and you go, yeah, that sounds right. Uh-huh. But no, I think it's more than that. But they shouldn't be far from getting Mariupol denazified. And sadly, it looks like much of the city will be torn up because of it, because of the way the Nazis are acting, which is to ensconce themselves into apartment places, not allow the people to leave if they haven't left yet, and then using them for human shields, hoping the Russians won't fire because there are innocent people in there, which is really low down. That's slimy, slimeball stuff. So, but I mean, just looking at videos, just tower block after tower block, it's just gutted, tore up, skeletal. It's burned. It's not pretty. It's sad. And so, they shouldn't be too far from getting the border area of Donbass cleaned up, because they're slowly crushing them in that cauldron. There may be a little space for them to go out the back, but how true that is or not, I don't know. But if they don't give up, or they're ordered to not give up and they follow orders idiotically, well, they will be eliminated. Or they can surrender or be captured. You know, there's a few options. So, and then I think Putin will turn his attention towards Kiev. And what he's going to do and how he's going to do it is yet to be seen. But it'll probably turn into something of a siege where he'll starve it out. However, looking at that tunnel map, and if it's legit, I'm sure Putin knows about it, and they'll have to take measures to stop things from getting in that way, because all these NATO countries with the U.S. at the helm are doing their best to move every different type of war material in, so the Ukrainians can keep fighting the Russians till they fight to the last Ukrainian. And then what? Because the Russians ain't going to run out. You hear this stuff about Russia is, you know, they're slowing down, they're tiring, they're running out of this and that. That's not true. Putin has lots more. I don't even know that he's, number one, used his best gear yet, and number two, used his A-line soldiers yet. So, and it's a sad thing. War is a sad thing, and I'm not celebrating it. What I am celebrating, though, is standing up to these would-be world rulers, the globalists, our Khazars, or I just say globalists because that's what they are, and some of these globalists are not Khazars, even though they're tied in closely with them. So, not nominally. So we'll have to see. But I don't think Putin is falling behind. I think the one thing he is very decisive. He's very patient. He's slow. He's methodical, but he's steady, and he doesn't stop. And that's what's going to get it. Okay. Now, God, I've piled up so many articles lately. Let me see if there's a good one that I could. This is an interesting one from a CIA veteran. This is SOTT. And it's written by Mike Whitney of the UNS Review. Question one. Oh, and it came out on Monday the 21st, so it's 3 days old. Question one. I guess that's Mike talking to this guy. Can you explain to me why you think Russia is winning the war in Ukraine? Larry C. Johnson, who I guess is the ex-CIA guy, CIA veteran. He may still be with him, I don't know, but his answer is, within the first 24 hours of the Russian military operation in Ukraine, all Ukrainian ground radar intercept capabilities were wiped out. Without those radars, Ukrainian Air Force lost its ability to do air-to-air intercept. In the intervening 3 weeks, Russia has established a de facto no-fly zone over Ukraine. While still vulnerable to shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles supplied by the U.S. and NATO to the Ukrainians, there is no evidence that Russia has had to curtail combat air operations. And he continues, Russia's arrival in Kiev within 3 days of the invasion also caught my attention. I recall that the Nazis in Operation Barbarossa took 7 weeks to reach Kiev and required 7 more weeks to subdue the city. The Nazis had the advantage of not pulling punches to avoid civilian casualties and were eager to destroy critical infrastructure. Yet many so-called American military experts claim that Russia was bogged down. When a 24-mile or 40-mile, depends on the news source, was positioned north of Kiev for more than a week, I guess it's a position they were talking about, it was clear that Ukraine's ability to launch significant military operations had been eliminated. If their artillery was intact, then that column was easy pickings for massive destruction. That did not happen. Alternatively, if the Ukrainians had a viable fixed-wing or rotary-wing capability, they should have destroyed that column from the air. That did not happen. Or, if they had a viable cruise missile capability, they should have rained down hell on the supposedly stalled Russian column. That did not happen. The Ukrainians did not even mount a significant infantry ambush of the column with their newly supplied U.S. javelins. The scale and scope of the Russian attack is remarkable. They captured territory in 3 weeks that is larger than the land mass of the United Kingdom. Then they proceeded to carry out targeted attacks on key cities and military installations. We have not seen a single instance of a Ukrainian regiment or brigade-sized unit attacking and defeating a comparable Russian unit. Instead, the Russians have split the Ukrainian army into fragments and cut their lines of communication. The Russians are consolidating their control of Mariupol and have secured all approaches on the Black Sea. Ukraine is now cut off in the south and the north. And as an aside, I've heard that Ukraine has remarked they no longer have access to the Sea of Azov. And much of the Black Sea, too, is going to be problematic for them. And he continues, I would note that the U.S. had a tougher time capturing this much territory in Iraq in 2003 while fighting against a far inferior, less capable military force. If anything, this Russian operation should scare the hell out of U.S. military and political leaders, which it no doubt has, quite honestly. The really big news came this week with the Russian missile strikes on what are de facto NATO bases in Yavoriv and Zhytomyr. NATO conducted cybersecurity training at Zhytomyr in September 2018, and described Ukraine as a NATO partner. Zhytomyr was destroyed with hypersonic missiles on Saturday. Yavoriv suffered a similar fate last Sunday. These are the first times that these hypersonic missiles have been used, and I saw a video of one, and it's pretty impressive. Fastest thing I've ever seen. It was the primary training and logistics center that NATO and EUCOM used to supply fighters and weapons to Ukraine. A large number of the military and civilian personnel at that base became casualties. Not only is Russia striking and destroying bases used by NATO regularly since 2015, but there was no air raid warning and there was no shutdown of the attacking missiles, the hypersonics. Sure enough, and I think that was the problem. It could be that the Russians had jammed it because they do have that capability. So nothing works. And they're coming in so fast. There's not much you can do, really, except get out of the way if you're lucky. Better move fast. Question two. Why is the media trying to convince the Ukrainian people that they can prevail in their war against Russia? If what you say is correct, then all the civilians that are being sent to fight the Russian army are dying in a war they can't win. I don't understand why the media would want to mislead people on something so serious. What are your thoughts on the matter? A quick sip here. Larry C. Johnson answers. This is a combination of ignorance and laziness. Rather than do real reporting, the vast majority of the media, print and electronic, as well as big tech, are supporting a massive propaganda campaign. I remember when George W. Bush was Hitler. I remember when Donald Trump was Hitler. And now we have a new Hitler, Vladimir Putin. This is a tired, failed playbook. As an aside, remember when I said they have no creativity? They have no imagination. Okay. Anyone who dares to raise legitimate questions about it is immediately tarred as a Putin puppet or a Russia stooge. When you cannot argue facts, the only recourse is name calling. Question three. Last week, Colonel Douglas McGregor was a guest on the Tucker Carlson show. His views on the war are strikingly similar to your own. Here's what he said in the interview. Thus, Colonel McGregor. Quote, the war is really over for the Ukrainians. They have been ground into bits. There is no question about that, despite what we hear from our mainstream media. So, the real question for us at this stage is, Tucker, are we going to live with the Russian people and their government, or are we going to continue to pursue this sort of regime change dressed up as a Ukrainian war? Are we going to stop using Ukraine as a battering ram against Moscow, which is effectively what we've done? End quote. It's Colonel McGregor speaking. Now, here is the writer, Mike Whitney. Do you agree with McGregor that the real purpose of goading Russia into a war in Ukraine was regime change? Second, do you agree that Ukraine is being used as a staging ground for the U.S. to carry out a proxy war on Russia? Larry C. Johnson replies. Doug is a great analyst, but I disagree with him. I don't think there is anyone in the Biden administration that is smart enough to think and plan in those strategic terms. In my view, the last 7 years have been the inertia of the NATO status quo. What I mean by that is that NATO and Washington believed they could continue to creep east on Russia's borders without provoking a reaction. NATO and EUCOM regularly carry out exercises, including providing offensive training and supplied equipment. I believe reports in the United States that the CIA was providing paramilitary training to Ukrainian units operating in the Donbass are credible. But I have trouble believing that after our debacles in Iraq and Afghanistan, we suddenly have Sun Tzu-level strategists pulling the strings in Washington. I'm going to get dung out of here in a second, so I'll stop at this point. This is Pat Rabbit with Not For Public Consumption. You're listening to Revolution Radio. So stick around. We got Ollie. He's on Studio A. And there's even the Gonzalo Lira YouTube that's live, too. And you can pick it up. Just go to YouTube, Gonzalo Lira, his page. And you can see all his videos. They're good. He's done. It's almost 40 minutes long. He's in Kharkiv. He's hearing the bombs hit. He's in a funny space. You know, I worry about him, quite honestly. I hope he's okay. But remember, we're all user-supported, and so we do not get anywhere except with your help. So please bear that in mind, and if you have a few dollars, you can, you know, you can give one time whenever it's convenient, or you can arrange a Patreon and give regularly. It's up to you. And all you're doing is running the engines. You're not paying us. And do go to the Zazzle store and check out our new Coffee Club collection, because it is really cool. I'll be right back.
Secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
and we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hyper thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
You going back in?
Still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? You're some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And I'm back. This is Pat Rabbit, but not for public consumption. I'm reading something from SOTT, which is always Signs of the Times. It's a good site because there's some great article writing here. It's kind of like a news site, but it's more. Some of the authors are excellent. And this one's by Mike Whitney of the UNS Review. I will continue. This is an answer to one of his questions, and the person answering is Larry C. Johnson, who is a CIA veteran, I understand here. He continues, "There is an air of desperation in Washington. Besides trying to ban all things Russian, the Biden administration is trying to bully China, India, and Saudi Arabia. I do not see any of those countries falling into line. I believe the Biden crew made a fatal mistake by trying to demonize all things and all people Russian. If anything, this is uniting the Russian people behind Putin, and they are ready to dig in for a long struggle. Oh, Putin's popularity is really blossoming lately in Russia." He continues, "I am shocked at the miscalculation in thinking economic sanctions on Russia would bring them to their knees. The opposite is true. Russia is self-sufficient and is not dependent on imports. Its exports are critical to the economic well-being of the West. If they withhold wheat, potash, potash, sorry, gas, oil, palladium, finished nickel, and other key minerals from the West, the European and U.S. economies will be savaged. And this attempt to coerce Russia with sanctions has now made it very likely that the U.S. dollar's role as the international reserve currency will show up in the dustbin of history. And that's what's happening. Question four. Ever since he delivered his famous speech in Munich in 2007, Putin has been complaining about the architecture of global security. In Ukraine, we can see how these nagging security issues can evolve into a full-blown war. As you know, in December, Putin made a number of demands related to Russian security, but the Biden administration shrugged them off and never responded. Putin wanted written assurances that NATO expansion would not include Ukraine membership, and that nuclear missile systems would not be deployed to Romania or Poland. Do you think Putin's demands are unreasonable? Larry C. Johnson replies, I think Putin's demands are quite reasonable. The problem is that 99% of Americans have no idea of the kind of military provocation that NATO and the U.S. have carried out in the last 7 years. The public was always told the military exercises were defensive. That simply is not true. We now have news that DTRA was funding biolabs in Ukraine. I guess Putin could agree to allow U.S. nuclear missile systems in Poland and Romania if Biden agrees to allow comparable Russian systems to be deployed in Cuba, Venezuela, and Mexico. When we look at it in those terms, we can begin to understand that Putin's demands are not crazy nor unreasonable. Question five. Russian media reports that Russian high-precision air-launched missiles struck a facility in West Ukraine, killing more than 100 local troops and foreign mercenaries. Apparently, the Special Operations Training Center was located near the town of Ovruk, which is just 15 miles from the Polish border. What can you tell us about this incident? Was Russia trying to send a message to NATO? Larry C. Johnson answers. Short answer? Yes. Russian military strikes in western Ukraine during the past week have shocked and alarmed NATO officials. The first blow came on Sunday, March 13th, at Yavoriv, Ukraine. Russia hit the base with several missiles, some reportedly hypersonic. Over 200 personnel were killed, which included American and British military and intelligence personnel, and hundreds more wounded. Many suffered catastrophic wounds, such as amputations, and are in hospital. Yet, NATO and the Western media have shown little interest in reporting on this disaster. Yavoriv was an important forward base for NATO. Until February, prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. 7th Army Training Command was operating from Yavoriv as late as mid-February. Russia has not stopped there. ASB Military News reports Russia hit another site, Delyatin, which is 60 miles southeast of Yavoriv, on Thursday, I believe. Yesterday, Russia hit Zhytomyr, I'm not quite sure how to say that, another site where NATO previously had a presence. Putin has sent a very clear message. NATO forces in Ukraine will be viewed and treated as combatants, period. Question six. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been lionized in the Western media as a wartime leader and a modern-day Winston Churchill. Oh, God, give me a break. What the media fails to tell its readers is that Zelensky has taken a number of steps to strengthen his grip on power while damaging fragile democratic institutions in Ukraine. For example, Zelensky has banned 11 opposition-owned news organizations and tried to bar the head of Ukraine's largest opposition party, Viktor Medvedchuk, who really ought to be president of Ukraine, from running for office on a bogus terrorist financing charge. This is not the behavior of a leader that is seriously committed to democracy. What's your take on Zelensky? Is he really the patriotic leader the media makes him out to be? Larry C. Johnson answers. Zelensky is a comedian and an actor, not a very good one at that, in my view. The West is cynically using the fact he is Jewish, read Kazarian, as a diversion from the sizable contingent of neo-Nazis. And I mean genuine Nazis who still celebrate the Ukrainian Waffen-SS unit's accomplishments while fighting with the Nazis in World War II. The facts are clear. He is banning opposition political parties and shutting down opposition media. I guess that is the new definition of democracy. I smell Justin Trudeau. Question 7. How does this end? There's an excellent post at the Moon of Alabama site titled, "What will be the geographic end state of the war in Ukraine?" The author of the post, Bernard, seems to think that Ukraine will eventually be partitioned along the Dnieper River and south along the coast that holds a majority ethnic Russian population. He also says this, quote, "This would eliminate Ukrainian access to the Black Sea and create a land bridge towards the Moldavian breakaway Transnistria, which is under Russian protection. The rest of Ukraine would be a land-confined, mostly agricultural state, disarmed and too poor to be built up to a new threat to Russia anytime soon. Politically, it would be dominated by fascists from Galicia, which would then become a major problem for the European Union." That's in the western part of Ukraine. And he continues with his question. What do you think? Will Putin impose his own territorial settlement on Ukraine in order to reinforce Russian security and bring the hostilities to an end? Or is it a different scenario that's more likely? Larry C. Johnson answers. I agree with Moon. Putin's primary objective is to secure Russia from foreign threats and effect a divorce with the West. Russia has the physical resources to be an independent sovereign and is in the process of making that vision come true. Say two. And it's about Larry C. Johnson. He's a veteran of the CIA and the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. He is the founder and managing partner of Berg Associates, which was established in 1998. Larry provided training to the U.S. military special operations community for 24 years. He has been vilified by the right and the left, which means he must be doing something right. His analysis and commentary can be found at his blog. Okay. Yeah, a couple things. They have screwed themselves with the dollar being the reserve currency. And that's going to really impact the economic situation in this country. Something terrible. That's the reason they can run these horribly high deficits. Because the dollar is the reserve currency. And it lets them depend on that to pull that off. But now what we're looking at is a petro-ruble and an agro-ruble. Russia's going to pull this one off. Watch. Another thing that's a big problem here in the West is the people that do war here, that prosecute war here in the West, have a certain way of doing things. They go in with air and they proceed to blow everything to smithereens. So nothing is left. Then they send the ground forces in with air cover. What a horrible way to do things. And the Russians are not doing it like that. They're doing their best to preserve all the infrastructure they can. They don't want to destroy Ukraine. They want it in one piece. And they're doing their best to not kill innocent people. They're just trying to take out the Ukrainian military. Remember, the objectives were to demilitarize and denazify. Get rid of the Nazis and then undo their military. And in order to undo the military, Putin's going to have to take Kiev. Because he's going to need to undo the Zelensky regime also. And then install Viktor Medvedchuk, who seems to be a really decent fella from the, there is that movie, Ukraine on Fire. I watched that Oliver Stone movie. And then there's another one, Explaining Ukraine or something like that. And a whole lot of it is interviewing Viktor Medvedchuk, who's actually good friends with Putin and the same age, essentially. 54, I think he was born. And he seems like a really decent fellow. You know, I understand you can design movies and you can you sway the narrative. You can color it how you want. But nonetheless, that's the feeling I was left with. So anything would be better than Volodymyr Zelensky. What a slime ball. I can't stand to even look at him anymore. One of the most evil looking people I've seen. Just awful. Okay. And I think that's a fair assessment of what's going on. Does that make me a Putin stooge? Maybe. But that's beside the point, too. Okay. Now, what else might I find to regale you with? Give me a second here while I'm looking. Because they're trying to mess with China at the same time they're messing with Russia. They are absolutely insane. And this Jens Stoltenberg, the guy at NATO or UN, which is essentially very much the same thing. He said some very bizarre things lately. I forget exactly what they were, but it had to do with with Ukraine being the battleground against Russia. And the implication is that they're going to continue to see if they can't stock the Ukrainian military, which they're going to run out of Ukrainian military. Who's going to do it then? My God. And Putin warned them. He well warned them. At the same time he started. He didn't start before he said, look, stay out of this, because if you don't, you're going to see stuff you've never seen in your history. Or pretty much his words. Is Russia really fighting globalism in Ukraine? By Kat Black from the Off Guardian. Now, I don't remember how much I read this, so I'm not going to be sure what kind of spin she puts on it. I notice there's a couple of comments by the editors, and generally the comments from the editors are golden. I agree with every comment these guys ever make. Well, let's see what it says. Is the Ukraine invasion Putin moving That's a strange sentence, but I'll read it just like it's written. Is the Ukraine invasion Putin moving against globalism? It holds together, but it's a little clumsy. It's becoming a very popular idea in alt media right now. Ooh. Alex Christoforou, and he works with the other guy I mentioned, who is Alexander Markouris from the Duran. And Alexander's good, so I think Christoforou is too. I believe they're both Greek names. But anyway, Alexander Christoforou says it overtly in his latest video. Catherine Austin Fitz and Carol von Wolferen suggested in a recent conversation, as does the Daily Exposé. I would love it to be true, but currently it really doesn't look like it, and promoting that idea sans solid evidence can lead us into dangerous delusion. Before we get accused of Russiaphobia by people with short memories or long agendas, let me remind everyone we have been labeled Russian trolls ever since our launch because we have consistently defended Russia's actions both in Ukraine in 2014-2016 and later in Syria and elsewhere. I'm more than aware that Russia have long struggled with the existential threat offered by NATO and the U.S. Empire. And as an aside, do know that this whole thing for Russia is existential, which is a very important point. Okay, to continue. Yes, they have opposed U.S. imperialism, but for reasons of national survival, not ideology. They have stood up against U.S. militarism and U.S. hegemony, not globalism. As an aside, it's the U.S., though, which is the heart of the globalist thrust. All the others follow along like little lemmings. In fact, in the early 2000s, Putin strove repeatedly to have Russia accepted into the Western collective, lobbying to join NATO and for close integration with the EU. It was only Western intransigence and NATO's need for an enemy to justify its existence that forced Russia reluctantly into its current stance. People have recently started assuming Russia must be anti-globalist because it has been forced into being anti-imperialist. But this is a conflation of two different concepts. Globalism is not a synonym for imperialism. In fact, in many ways, it can be seen as antithetical to U.S. unipolar imperialism. And I think many old-style U.S. conservatives do see it that way. And globalism is not, and never has been, an exclusively Western concept. No, they brought it to the West. You know, Schwab, Soros. Okay. When Russia exposes the pandemic lie, abandons its vax policy, decouples from a digital currency, rejects Agenda 2030, then maybe you could argue they are anti-globalist. Here's a comment, the first one. While it would be nice to see that, one must also consider that openly opposing the globalists will be almost certain death. Only time will tell if they are just playing along, biding their time, or actually in bed with the hidden power structures. Which my intuition tells me is not the case, but that's neither here nor there. To continue with the article. But right now, it's clear. They embrace globalism, as their joint statement with China from February 2022 makes clear. Where is said, in order to accelerate the implementation of the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, Russia and China call on the international community to take practical steps in key areas of cooperation, such as poverty reduction, food security, vaccines and epidemics control, financing for development, climate change, sustainable development, including green development, industrialization, digital economy, and infrastructure connectivity. Oh, Lord. I don't know. And okay, that was that statement. Now the article picks it up. Klaus Schwab and the WEF would definitely approve this agenda, wouldn't they? Russia and China at least appear to be fully behind globalist policies. And to be fair, you can understand why. To the leaders of a nation that has been in NATO's crosshairs as long as Russia has, a new globalist order which offers them a seat at the table would seem like a preferable alternative to living with the fear of impending annihilation. In fact, you can probably make a better case for this as a war by globalism against the collapsing U.S. empire, with crippling self-destructive sanctions used as a thin disguise for hastening the demise of the petrodollar and bringing us all in the West to the hallowed state of owning nothing and being happy. But in reality, we still have a very incomplete picture of what this war means and why it was launched or how it's progressing. A torrent of confident speculation is pouring from mainstream and alt media alike. 100 pundits all assure us they know where the troops are on the ground, what Russia's grand plan is, and yada, yada, yada. The truth is, we know very little. There are few journalists on the ground out there, and almost all information about the progress of and intentions behind the war come from official pronouncements or unofficial leaks. Much of that information is either intentionally or accidentally inaccurate and contradictory. We have anonymous British guys claiming to be in Kiev and telling us there is no war at all. We have the few journalists working out there being escorted by one side or the other to the site of various alleged missile attacks or other violence. We have verifiable Nazis doing unverifiable atrocities. We have stories of biolabs that slot just a little too sweetly into the COVID narrative for anyone who's on the ball to be totally comfortable. What we see is inevitably a series of tableaux stripped of context and impossible to evaluate. It's the only one line I agree strongly with, considering some of the stuff beforehand in the article. Anyway, here's a second comment. Not necessarily. While there is a lot of misinformation, one can put together a fairly educated guess if you've been paying close attention. And finally, the article ends with one last sentence. All any responsible person can do at this time is wait and watch attentively and avoid the temptation to create binary heroes and villains out of the muddy and obscure reality. I don't know how much I really agree with much of what is said there, but whatever, you know. Let's keep it fair and balanced. That's one thing I hate. Who was fair and balanced my ass? Let's see, we got some Bitcoin news. I don't see any Ukraine news that's been put in. Oops, come here, you. So, TikTok. I spend so much of my time looking at the Twitters. There's the Revolution Radio Twitter, and then there's also Gonzalo Lira's Twitter. And then I go to the Telegram, and there's Gonzalo Lira's Telegram, and then there's Dude Guy's Telegram, which is Dude's News. And very good stuff. They go out of their way to put good things in. Right off the top of it, I don't think Putin is part of some grand plan that he is in on with them. Yes, he knows Schwab. He's been to the WEF. He's a world leader. You could expect people to run in those circles. And sometimes you got to play along. I mean, he's really good at what he does. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy position to I'm just a rabbit, but I'm trying to make the best of what I see. See some kind of sense in all this. But I am watching that Mars-Saturn conjunction, which will be on the 5th or 6th. That can have a very, very potent presence. It's not going to be aspecting anything else, thank heavens. But you look at the moon as a trigger. This will be when the moon's in late Gemini into Cancer. And the moon's barely gone into Capricorn yet, so we got almost 2 weeks before this happens. No, the moon's still 2.5 degrees out of Capricorn. And it goes through a sign every 2.5 to 3 days. I'll be another 2 weeks when it's in Gemini or Cancer. That's when this will happen, which means it won't be aspecting it yet. When the moon goes into Leo, a day or so later, it's going to swing around and oppose that conjunction. Now, the conjunction will not be quite so tight as it was. I don't know if the time it takes for the moon to get to Leo will give it enough time, Mars and Saturn, to have moved out of 1 degree with each other. That could be key, and I'll be watching it. So, we'll see. I've been doing that much music. I've been doing a little more music lately, playing more. I'm sitting here looking out the window. I am so keyed up about this weirdness. And just praying that the name of this town really isn't Keystone. But it's bizarre. I mean, people coming around in broad daylight trying to get into your houses and break into sheds, and I can see it at night. When did he lose his flashlight? Or I don't know, man. That's weird. That's weird, weird. Never had any trouble for a decade. I've not lived in a house for a decade. Just got a lot of stuff stored because I have 3 families worth of stuff. This is Revolution Radio, and we're found at revolution.radio, and we're found also at freedomslips.com, and we've got content for you. 60, 60, 24, 7, 52, 11, and counting. So, except every 4 years we have that extra day. Gonzalo Lira's birthday is February 29th. Those poor leap year people got to celebrate on another day every 3 years out of 4. They ought to forbid births on February 29th. Just don't allow anybody to be born. That's how to deal with that. Someone here, too. Stardust Man, he is. Oh, yeah, they will, except I'm in town. I couldn't set off a cherry bomb without having the police come around looking for me. That's the problem. We'll see. It assumes greater importance now that I'm not the only person who's being hit. Not that I'm happy to see my neighbor get hit, but they're going to feel a certain pressure to do something about this now. And I have heard rumor that the sheriff is wanted
to come in to the town and enforce law. That is something that I would applaud because I know the sheriff. Good man. Maybe something would really get done then. I know a bunch of the deputies too. We'll see. Okay. Let's see. It's another day. I hope everybody's doing well. We have, do we have any new hosts coming? I don't think so right off. You could check the schedule if you see someone you've never heard of. That would be a new one. But we've got Feather Ray. She started her show. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it's Tuesday. And she seems, it's Tuesday at 2 o'clock on A. She seems pretty able. She's had experience. So that's a good sign. Now, let's see what else I can find for you. When is this one from? Sunday. Yeah, this is about Mariupol. From Guy Chazan, Max Seddon, and Laura Pittel from the Financial Times on Sunday, the 20th. Fierce fighting engulfs Mariupol as Russia demands Ukraine surrender city. Turkey says close agreement in negotiations. I don't know what's been done, but anyway, let's see what it said. Russia has given Ukrainian forces a Monday deadline to surrender control of the besieged port city of Mariupol. The scene of some of the heaviest fighting since Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine more than 3 weeks ago. In a statement carried by Russian state news agency RIA Novosti, Moscow's defense ministry said it was opening humanitarian corridors out of Mariupol from 10 a.m. local time on Monday and told the Ukrainian forces defending the city to lay down their arms and leave. It demanded Kyiv respond in writing to its ultimatum by 5 a.m. on Monday morning. Russia, which has framed its invasion as a special operation to liberate Ukraine, claimed Kyiv was using Nazis, foreign mercenaries, and bandits to hold up to 130,000 civilians hostage. What a bunch of slime balls. Despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, it has denied any responsibility for the overwhelming civilian casualties in Mariupol and blamed them on provocations by Ukrainian nationalists. Here's a comment, because I was asking that question too. Overwhelming evidence with no sources cited or links to evidence? Good journalism. Yeah, as soon as I read that, I wondered. To continue, this is a lot of comment in this article, which I like. Here's the article. The ultimatum came as fierce fighting engulfed Mariupol on Sunday, with Russian forces tightening their grip and bombing a school where about 400 residents were sheltering. Comment. Given the fact that Azov are blowing up theaters and shooting escaping civilians, please forgive us for being skeptical. That sounds kind of Western to me. That's the kind of propaganda we tend to hear. But let's see what else is said. The eastern port city has been devastated by relentless shelling, with whole neighborhoods reduced to piles of smoldering rubble. Oh, boy, they dress it up, don't they? Electricity, gas, and water have been cut off and trapped. Residents are without food. Ukraine's armed forces said the situation was difficult. There is famine in the city, street fights, people are trying to leave, end quote. Local authorities in Mariupol said, quote, civilians are still under the rubble, end quote, after the school bombing. Comment. Also, with no acknowledgement that Azov camps out in schools. And here's some tweets that you get some bad news. Again, it is propaganda. Okay. Article goes on. Russia's advance in Mariupol came after Kyiv said it had been cut off from the strategically important Sea of Azov, a conduit to the Black Sea. Capturing Mariupol would give the Russians control of a swath of Ukraine's southern coast. Kyiv also said Moscow had used its new hypersonic missiles against civilian areas elsewhere in Ukraine, in the first confirmation that the Kremlin had deployed the weapons in the conflict. Not on civilians. To continue. Moscow said it used the Kinzhal, which it claims can travel at 10 times the speed of sound, twice in the past 3 days to destroy a fuel depot in southern Ukraine and to target a munitions storage facility in the country's west. I think it depends upon the air, the situation in the atmosphere, and what it is in varying locales, but the speed of sound can run from 700 feet per second to 1,000 feet per second. 10 times that. They're fast. Unreal. I mean, our best, in the West, the best jets can do what? Mach 3? Maybe Mach 4 if it's special design being tested. It's crazy. Okay. Russia said Andriy Paly, deputy commander of the Black Sea Fleet, had died during the battle for Mariupol. Paly's death makes him the 7th high-ranking Russian officer Ukraine claims to have killed during the war. Meanwhile, Turkey, which is mediating alongside Israel between Russia and Ukraine, claimed the two countries were converging on key aspects. Turkey's foreign minister Mevlüt Cavusoglu, I know that's wrong, but said the parties are close to agreement on fundamental issues. And they continue. It's not that easy to negotiate while the war is ongoing or to agree when citizens are dying. But I want to say that there is momentum, he said. Kyiv and its Western allies fear Russian President Vladimir Putin could be buying time in peace talks to replenish Moscow's forces and launch a broader offensive. That's exactly what Putin is saying about Ukraine. They like to really drag their feet on these talks so they can regroup. Talk about projection. Okay, to continue. Mariupol's status is a sticking point in the talks because it is part of the Ukrainian-held territory claimed by Moscow-backed separatists, according to two people briefed on the peace efforts. Turkey's pro-government Hürriyet newspaper reported that the two countries were edging towards agreement on Kyiv, declaring neutrality and abandoning its drive for NATO membership, demilitarizing Ukraine in exchange for collective security guarantees, what Russia calls denazification, and lifting restrictions on the use of Russian in Ukraine. This was Sunday, remember. I don't see that much has taken place, and it's Thursday now. I still don't know if I can tell the difference. I'm starting to think I might, but I can't be sure yet. They say it's like the difference between Spanish and Portuguese. Okay, to continue the article. Two people familiar with the discussion said it was likely a compromise would involve token concessions from Kyiv on what Russia calls denazification. But Linda Thomas Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, accused Moscow of failing to fully participate in the talks. The negotiations seem to be one-sided, she said. The Russians have not leaned into any possibility for a negotiated and diplomatic solution. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said the talks were worth pursuing even if they had a 1% chance of success, and warned the failure of negotiation would risk a third world war. Yeah, see, they're giving a whole lot to what Zelensky is saying. You know, this is Western propaganda. Okay, to continue. We have demonstrated the dignity of our people and our army. But unfortunately, our dignity is not going to preserve lives. So I think we have to use any format, any chance, in order to have the possibility of negotiating, he told CNN. Zelensky said Western leaders had told him Ukraine would not be allowed to join NATO or the EU, although publicly the doors will remain open. Talk about some two-sided stuff. U.S. President Joe Biden will visit Europe this week to attend Thursday's NATO summit in Brussels, but will not travel to Ukraine, the White House said on Sunday. Doesn't he have an invite, too, from Zelensky? Russia is publicly sticking to the demands Putin made in the first days of the invasion, including vaguely defined calls to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine. Those calls weren't vaguely defined. They seem pretty clear to me. Anyway, Moscow also wants Kyiv to recognize its 2014 annexation of Crimea and the independence of two Russian-backed separatist territories in the eastern Donbass region. As its invasion has stalled, however, oh, that's propaganda. No. It has not stalled. I am sorry. But anyway, to continue. As its invasion has stalled, however, Russia has quietly dropped its vow to remove Zelensky and dial down suggestions of carving up the country into Moscow-backed fiefdoms and a rump state. Ukraine has ruled out territorial concessions to Russia and has said negotiations on the areas seized by Moscow before this year would require separate talks between Zelensky and Putin. A possible agreement would require Russia to announce a ceasefire and withdraw its troops from Ukrainian territory to their positions when Putin launched the invasion on February 24th. I think they are dreaming. It is likely a compromise that would involve Kyiv making token concessions by banning certain groups or changing the names of streets named after Ukrainian partisans who fought alongside Nazi Germany against the USSR in the Second World War, said two people briefed on the talks. Well, that's real clear, isn't it? Two people. Who? Russia is also likely to soften a demand for Ukraine to make Russian the second official language in the country if Kyiv rolls back its laws limiting its use, one of the people answered. Putin has justified the invasion by claiming Russia is liberating Ukraine from Nazis, even though Zelensky is Jewish, and far-right nationalist groups have little influence in the country. Now, that's a lie. It's these far-right nationalist groups that are running the country right now. Zelensky is either in Lviv or somewhere in Poland. He ain't even there. That's crazy. That's nuts. Finally, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg told NBC News it was far too early to say whether peace talks could succeed, but emphasized the need to prevent the conflict from becoming a full-fledged war between NATO and Russia in Europe. Say to God, there's some propaganda in there. That's hard. I thought that I'm going to have to delete that link. That's not good. Oh no, that's so much disinformation. It's sickening. Here's my go. Delete, you little bastard. Okay, there we go. This is Pat Rabbit with Not for Public Consumption. Oh, I've been doing some more publicly steered shows lately. I've gotten out of what I generally do in the metaphysical realms. But anyway, see what we got. Sounds like stuffed bell pepper. It sounds like Bitcoin's doing really well for some reason, which is good. Okay. Do see if you can spare us a few dollars now and again. We don't ask for much. We don't ask for anything, but we let you know that if nothing is given, we won't be here. And the fact that we are here is due to those who have taken the time and the effort to let us have a little money. And that's what makes us go. There's much more to the station than chat, too. Though we have a good chat. It's a very interesting chat. A lot of good people. Come on down and enjoy. Light, life, and love. May the spirit of goodness reach out into all space. And may the positive powers of these principles overcome all negative conditions. And may peace profound reign everywhere. So mote it be. Amen. 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 That's my favorite little prayer. I think it's good. Good for the general. That's the kind of thinking. You know, you will never have peace in this realm. It's not the purpose of this earth realm to have peace. This realm is a school. But it doesn't do to destroy the school, which is what the globalists are trying to do. There are some, these Kalars, who would like to rule the entire planet. That'll never work. I'm sorry, it just won't. And all this horrible wokeism that's just running across this country like an out-of-control cancer in the fourth stage or something, metastasized everywhere. That ain't gonna work either. Things are falling apart, and it will get worse when we have things like the loss of the reserve currency status of the dollar. And that was deliberately done. It looks like, oh, look, they shot themselves in the foot. Well, they know it. They did it on purpose to do something, to cause a mess. And it will be Russia and China that will come out much better for it, for whatever reason. But I don't think Putin is part of this globalist thrust. I might be wrong, but somehow that seems to be blackpilling to me. It's a zero-sum game that way. You can't have the evil going down without having the good to offset it. You have to have a balance of both because one can't manifest without the other. That's the truth of it. As much quote-unquote evil as you see, whatever the amount, whatever the quantity, there is an equal quantity of quote-unquote good offsetting it. This is universal law. It's got to be somewhere. And as far as I can tell, it is Russia who is taking up arms against the globalists. Coming up after me will be Willow Andreessen on A, her two-hour slot. And then if the mechanic is around, he'll do his one-hour slot. And after that, we'll have Deacon John and Dude Guy and Hijacker probably for their one-hour slot. And after that, Dennis Fetcho. All our regular slots are 2 hours. Now and then we have an hour slot. But Dennis Fetcho, and then at 8, we're going to have the New American Dream Boys. And at 10, we're going to have the Ice Age Conversations. And after that, we're going to have the roundtables with either Keith or Noreen, I'm not sure. And on B, After me, we'll have Mona Radler with The Adventures of a Feral Hippie. And after that, I think we've been playing some old Sean David Morton files. No, he's not back at this point. And after that, we're going to have Mario. And after Mario, we'll have Mr. Rowe at 8. And at 10, we'll have J. Charles Parker. And after that, maybe more roundtables. I haven't seen Dave Scott lately, so I don't know his status. We have something for you all day, every day, both studios. And I'll resume my watching out the window, which is what I'm doing right now. I feel like a human radar at this point. And maybe pull out a guitar and do some stuff. And watch the chat and see what's going on around, because I'm always searching. Yep. Well, here I wind down another show. Thank you, Crow. I appreciate it. Very kind of you. And go back into my rabbit hole and enjoy the week till I have to come out and do it again next Thursday at noon Eastern. See, because I'm in Central Time, so it's 11 for me. But, yep, we give all times are given in Eastern. So it's at noon Eastern. And we cover four time zones, Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific, besides what might be in Alaska, Hawaii, and somebody might be in Newfoundland, and there was the Atlantic time zone. And Russia covers 11 time zones. Phew. That's almost halfway around the world. Halfway around the planet is 12 time zones. That's big. Good Lord. I hear the music. Y'all be good. Take care. Be well. God bless. Pat Rabbit signing off.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.